And very often the emperors would play the patriarch and pope off each other. There were a number of these instances when the emperor, for instance, wanted a fourth marriage, the Emperor Leo VI. The Orthodox Church only allowed three marriages. Leo had the misfortune that his wives kept dying on him, and he still needed an heir. The patriarch said, no, three strikes and you're out. Leo appeals to the pope, Sergius. Sergius says, no problem, we allow four. And then immediately there's a dispute, and the patriarch and pope get into an argument over the question of the dispensation. There were other issues that came up from an early date. There was a dispute over the so-called filioque that had been inserted into the Nicene faith by the popes, that is, from the Son. That is, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Son. That was not in the original wording. It was added in the Western Church to help with the Arian Visigoths. The patriarchs insisted you needed a council to do this. The pope said, no, my approval was sufficient. And again, these disputes would appear periodically. The most important of them will be the Schism of 1054, the Great Schism, where patriarch and pope will excommunicate each other. But the important point to stress is about the time of the Crusades, the two Christian worlds had moved off in somewhat different directions. In its liturgy, in its arts, in its notion of religious authority, they did differ. There were tensions between patriarch and pope, culminating in the Great Schism of 1054. However, for the majority of Christians, most of these issues were not very important. Until the time of the Crusades, the contact between Western Europeans and Byzantines was relatively limited. It might be pilgrims coming through, it might be mercenaries, it might be merchants. The Crusades will change this. The Crusades will bring large numbers of Western Europeans into the contact of the Byzantines, and then Byzantine Christian and Crusaders will have a real sense of where they differ. Now, that'll take about 150 years for those changes and animosities and clashes to result in the sack of 1204 and other such matters. Finally, with a few words I'd like to say, is Constantinople also functioned as the new Athens. It saw a great cultural revival in the 9th and 10th centuries of its classical traditions. Basil II's family was very much responsible for the copying down of the classics. This all started with the polymath Photius in the 9th century, the editing of texts of Plato. As I mentioned, our best account of the people in the Crusades, maybe not the definitive history of the Crusades, but of the people, is the Princess Anna Comnena, who actually saw and met many of the participants, and who wrote her history in the 1140s after she was eased out of power by her brother, and is also in the well-known Greek tradition of historians write history because they can't do politics. She's just like Thucydides. He was the Athenian historian who was banished for military incompetence and goes out and writes a military history of the Peloponnesian War, typical of most historians. But Anna's account gives us real insight to these personalities. And the result is that Byzantine society, as heir to this tradition, this classical tradition, its aesthetics, its mores, its texts, the upper classes were very literate, men and women both. They had a fine sense of their continuity from the classical past, and really must have looked upon Western Europeans as quite crude and boorish. Western Europeans often returned the compliment with thinking that the Byzantines were effete, too polished for their own good, and this would contribute a great deal to misunderstanding between the two sets of Christians. And I can only close with a good idea, one small example, perhaps trivial, of what these differences really meant. And the one that always fascinates me is that the Empress Theophano in the 10th century, a Byzantine empress, was married to the Holy Roman Emperor Otto II, and she's the mother of the Holy Roman Emperor Otto III. And when she arrived in Goslar, in the German capital, the Germans were absolutely excited with derision about her effeminate, polished ways. And two points in particular they made is that Theophano ate her food with a fork and bathed once a day. And these are perhaps the types of differences that in time would be stressed between the literate Byzantine society and the Western Europeans that would lead to a lot of the misunderstanding of the Crusades.